Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Schenkler. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Fred.
Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. You know, what I thought we could talk about is continuing the discussion around this, the soft skills or the social skills, which are so important to balance with the technical skills.
Yeah, no, it works for me. I had one of my students last summer that called this stack of stuff in the back of our book. He said in the Navy, they call it leadership skills. We should have met him a couple of years prior. We would have changed the name of that.
Well, yeah, that's leadership is certainly part of it. And there's also followership, which I guess is a different view of it. Mm-hmm. But in other words, if everybody, whether you're in an executive position or not, falls in the category of leadership, then I can see it as a broad topic. The soft skills covers whether you're at no matter where you are in the food chain or the hierarchy of an organization, you need those skills, and some of them are leadership. So I'm just trying to reflect with you if leadership is a subcategory or it's only...
There's when you think about management and leadership, then there's subtle differences. What I look at it as is for reliability engineering, with that filter that I carry around with me all the time, it's we're influencers, right? Not the internet influencer, you know, hawking something so that you click on it and they get some ad revenue. But we are often, and this is why we put these two sections on skills other than technical skills in the back of the book, is that you need to be able to listen, which we talked about a number of times on this show, and on and on and on, be able to write and present and do all these things in order to influence somebody it's not just make a good argument or not be good at just debate. You also need all these other things that wrap it all together. And I look at it as a good leader, independent of their title, is leading change or a direction or leading an effort to say, hey, we need to pick the right vendor so that we get a reliable power supply. That's a form of leadership in my mind. If somebody that's setting the agenda, if the lack of a better word for it.
I like that broader scope of the word. So, and we can use that. So from a leadership standpoint, that means whatever you're doing, you're proactive, you take action to influence. That's a wonderful broad definition or scope of leadership. And one of the topics that I think to be a good influencer, you have to have a degree of humility. When we talk influence, we're not talking about the hard sell salesman. That tries to push a product on someone. There are ways to influence that are not the forceful pushing of your ideas. And one of them is having the humility to receive feedback from people and learning by doing. In other words, you take some action, then you listen. How did it go? And what people have to say.
Well, we've talked about it, right? I think every time we've talked about one of these skills is you need feedback. And I think what we're going to talk about today is, well, how do you actually do that in a little more depth? Because we've mentioned it a number of times.
Yeah. It's always been part of some other topic. So let's dive into it.
Yeah. It's you know, before we get too far into it is, for the folks that are listening to this, one of the things and you've heard it if you've listened to the end of any of these episodes over the last 1,000 of them. Let us know how it's going. What's on your mind? What comments do you have? What feedback do you have? What do you like or don't like? All that stuff. We really, really look forward to it and use it to improve the show as we go. And I know of a dozen or more changes we've made to the structure or format and the pacing and all kinds of stuff for the show. But that's a form of feedback. And I think that's the key starting point, Carl, when we talk about it, is people will give you feedback unsolicited, whether it's good or bad. And sometimes it's useful, sometimes it's demeaning, and sometimes, you know, it's off the mark or not helpful or stuff like that. Yet I think the best kind of feedback is that, like, hey, Carl, I'm going to do this presentation next week. Can you come in? And I want you to watch for how I use my gestures, does it work with what I'm talking about? And does it help make the main points? Can you watch for that? And afterwards we sit down, we get a cup of coffee or whatever and relax, and it's all right. So when you did this and your audience looked over to the side, were you meaning to do that? Yeah. And okay, that worked really well because I saw everybody watch, you know, do this. It's prompt the person giving you feedback with what you're looking for to learn from.
So I think what you're bringing up, which is a great point, is you have to be proactive about getting feedback. You can't just, okay, I'll be receptive if someone happens to give me feedback.
Right.
And what you're saying, I think, Fred, is that set the stage for it. Invite a colleague or a friend or someone you trust to listen, and then be humble and receptive and willing to hear what that feedback is. Let me just share a short story here. A colleague I was mentoring, and I try to mentor people whenever I can, and I was mentoring this person on teaching reliability courses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he'd teach a course, and I'll say moderate results. And I said, well, what happened? Well, da-da-da-da, and he'd tell me, and I'd try to give him feedback, and didn't. Same thing happened again. I said, you know, let me sit in. And so it's almost the revert. It's like what you were exactly saying.
You're offering to give feedback.
I was offering to give feedback.
Yeah,
exactly. And so I sat in, and I saw what he was doing. That was essentially a turnoff. He was talking too much. And as an instructor, and so when it was all done, I pulled him aside and said, you know, you're talking too much. And he thought about it and thought about it. And he says, you know, I think I do that because on things that I'm not totally certain of. Yeah. And I tend to talk to try to, you know, take care of that.
To fill the space. And I don't want the question I can't answer.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard
and
that
it was
before.
Like a watershed moment. And his training went so much better after that. It taught me, because there are different flows. There's the giving of feedback and the receiving. And both of them are important.
And it's tough, especially when it's an unsolicited, you know, heart feedback that is about something you're doing poorly or incorrectly or in to your own detriment. And somebody cares about you enough to give you the feedback. And I remember earlier in my career, I was getting some of that, and my boss stopped about 2 minutes into, you know, what she was thinking of as going to chew me out kind of thing. And she said, you're actually listening to this. What do you mean? Am I not supposed to? And she says, most people put up defenses and just, you know, attack back or do whatever else. But you're actually, and then like a week later said, you've actually changed. I was like, okay, well, I was listening to what you're saying. I didn't know, you know, I was ignorant to what was irritating you, and you took the time to let me know, and I appreciate it. And she never hesitated to give me feedback after that.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, and so I got to learn a whole lot of stuff.
It takes humility.
And it's not natural. Most people will put the shields up, you know, and defend, deflect, or do all kinds of stuff to mitigate whatever they're saying. Or, oh, it wasn't my fault, you know, and come up with 8,000 approaches.
Whatever.
That's not helpful. That's not helpful to anybody. Is take a breath, listen, ask clarifying questions. Can you give me an example? Understand that this is not comfortable for them either, and help them relax so you can get what you can learn from that. Now, when you take the step to say, hey, you know, Sarah, can you come to this presentation and watch, you know, my pacing or word choice or whatever, it's so much easier to get really good feedback because they know you want to hear this. You know? Yeah. And you are ready to listen to it and help them give you better feedback. And it's a great way to practice for the unexpected stuff that's more difficult to be ready for actually listening to feedback that you may be very difficult to hear. So practice on the simple stuff first. How are my gestures? Did I choose the right pronouns often enough? Did I mix up the, you know, I said there's three things and only said four, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, you almost have to set it up when you're requesting feedback, because some people will think, okay, he wants to be praised. You know, right. So someone's asking for you. Oh, yeah, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. It was really good. Yeah.
So you almost have to set it up. Say, you know, I would be very interested in your candid thoughts about how this went. Yeah. And I'm open to whatever you can tell me that might help me improve. I mean, just a simple setup. And then people will, because the shield that you talked about almost goes in both directions. People don't want to tell you the truth necessarily because
it might offend you. It might be disappointing to you. It's like, you know, once you get past that, it's amazing how much you can learn, because other people, another person in the room, like you are with your colleague, and helping them figure out what was diminishing the effectiveness of their training, is that you just can't see it yourself when you're on stage or in a meeting or in interacting with other folks or whatever. It's really hard to self-assess yourself.
Yeah, it is. I'm on the board in our association, and so when I'm running meetings, we have hybrid meetings, which some of the people are remote, mm-hmm. some of the people are in person, and they'll get feedback, and I really appreciate it. Which is, someone say, you know, you forgot to hit the share button on the screen, or you forgot to admit me, and I came in late, but then I waited for a half an hour, or the volume isn't good enough on here. I haven't good enough relationship where people are willing to say those things, but you have to be willing to hear them. I think people pick it up if you're not willing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's the same we'll probably talk about it in length. We're thinking about doing an episode on presenting. You remember Dr. Cake? Oh, he was out of Arizona. He had a very long Greek name.
Casey Siaglo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. K. Mm-hmm.
Dr. K. I appreciated it when he let me call him that. Yes.
I know him very well. I mean, I know him quite well.
Yeah, no, but we'll talk about he shut down any feedback or any questions by saying, well, that was a silly question. You should have read the book, and then didn't address the question at all. And nobody asked the question for the next 3 days.
Yes. Right. Well, I took a class. It's a leadership class at General Motors. And one of the points was how to give feedback, mm-hmm. how to receive it, how to give it. But the points can be flipped. And I just want to cover a couple of those. One of them is sincere, accurate, meaningful feedback. So if you're giving it, that's what you have to be. You have to be authentic, honest, sincere, positive. In other words, characterize it in a positive way. How can it help someone, not bring them down, you know, but
still and specific honest too. Yeah. Specific. You don't want to say you need to work harder. Okay.
Yeah. Or I didn't like it or something, you know.
Right.
Specificity is very good. And then flipping it when you're receiving feedback. If someone says, well, it was pretty good. Okay. Well, tell me, what could I do to improve, or what specific observations?
What didn't make it excellent? What didn't make it? What's the next polishing step? What else can I do?
Yeah.
You know, compare this to the best presentation you ever heard, and how does it compare, and what would be the differences? And there's a knowing how to give feedback or knowing how to receive feedback is part of it is working with the other person, either direction you're going, in order for it to be very useful. I mentioned asking clarifying questions, and can you be specific on that? Or what was the effect of whatever I was doing on the audience or on the other people? And how did that, why is that a detriment? You know, and stuff like that. And it's those open-ended questions and probing questions and clarifying questions is part of, you know, what's the right term? Greasing the skids so that you get better feedback. It also demonstrates you're actually interested in the feedback.
You got to set the tone, set it up so that people are willing. And I'll tell you, the way to stop it is to argue with it or to push back. The way to encourage it is to be receptive and listen, look people in the eye, and just thank them for the feedback.
Yeah. All right. And what can I do? How can I practice this? Or, you know, can I, you watch my next presentation to see if I make an improvement on this? Or it's, what's your action item out of it? What are you going to do? Whether it's go think about it or study or practice or do whatever, the feedback usually means there's something to change. And there's a whole other section of this chapter on change management, and that includes yourself. And feedback is a part of that. Mm. Now, you know, a big part of it is that I when I think of the feedback part of it, it goes back, and we've mentioned it in a couple of these other skills episodes, is that you need a coach. Now, it doesn't have to be somebody with a whistle and a stopwatch. It needs to be somebody that gives you honest feedback that you can take action on. If they say, you know, that you did the equation all right, but you need to use this, you know, super complicated other system here you've never heard of. I'm like, well, that's not helpful. Where do I learn that? Well, you need to go get a PhD. I'm not getting a PhD just to learn this one technique. You want to hire somebody else to do that? It's an end of the story right there. But if you say, you know, instead of using Excel, how about we use this package that allows you to do more complicated stuff, and I'll show you how to do that. Oh, that'd be great. And you're off and running. So the feedback needs to be the next step. And I'm thinking of that person with the whistle and the clipboard and the stopwatch. When I was learning to swim, they would say, all right, first do this. All right, next do this. Now change your hand slightly so that you get a little more water in it and push on it. You know, change your breathing just subtly. And she would give me one or two specific things to do. And then I take a couple of laps and go, all right, keep working on that. We'll, on Wednesday, we'll try, you know, we'll see how if you retain that. And then it took 6 months, but I ended up being able to swim 2 miles in an Ironman.
You're bringing up an important point here, which is if you're giving feedback, don't unload everything all at once.
Yeah,
you have to pace it out. Like, I have one golf lesson in my life.
Yeah,
and they videotaped my swing. Mm-hmm. The instructor was not very good because he told me about 15 things wrong with my swing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I couldn't do anything for a long time.
That's right.
It would have been better if you just give me one thing to work on.
Yeah,
and then come back and do it again. I want to mention a subset of this is if you're teaching or doing something that where it's natural to have a written feedback.
Yeah,
that can be important, but you have to set it up again. So as an instructor, I would say, okay, there's form. I pass out the forms to people. I say, and I tell them, please fill out the form. I do read these, and I appreciate your candid thoughts. It mm-hmm. will help me improve the course. Just some type of setup rather than the form sitting at the end of the table. And
oh, the quality department wants those.
Yeah, and then people don't really want to do it. And so it's all about making it safe to give and receive feedback. It's got to be safe and open and receptive. There's also a cultural aspect. So some cultures might have to work a little harder because it's not normal to critique.
Yep.
And so that's a really interesting subject. I'd be quite interested if, because you mentioned it when we started. So as a listener, please let us know your feedback. on how you liked this episode, what we could do differently, or things, experiences you have on the subject of feedback, or anything else. We definitely want to hear from you.
Yeah. And you can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Carl and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our About pages. And one of the benefits of getting in touch with us is that we'll get back to you. We'll answer your questions to the best of our ability, may rope in one or two of the other folks that maybe have another view of that answer. And very likely, we'll make it a topic on it. And what I have found, I don't know about you, Carl, but every time we get a listener's question that I've previously answered, I have to go back and send another response because we learn so much chatting it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a dialogue with the people at Ascendo, Fred and I and others, that can help you improve your reliability, performance, that type of thing. And it helps us to give more meaningful podcasts and articles and webinars, things like that. So we definitely want to hear from you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Carl. And, you know, did a good job there, Carl. Appreciate it.
I appreciated the way you listened to me when I talk. All right.
Thanks, Carl. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.